Welcome to the Analytics Advantage podcast, brought to you by Oracle Analytics Cloud. Analytics reinvented.
My name is Dan Smucker. Welcome to the Analytics Advantage podcast. In today's episode, we're discussing a variety of topics around analytics, including the impact analytics embedded with machine learning is having on business today. Before I introduce our guests, I want to introduce my co-host, Michael Singer, Director of Product Marketing for Oracle Analytics Cloud. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Dan. And so today, Dan, we have Jeff Silverman as our guest. Jeff is a senior manager for Grant Thornton and a leader in their business analytics practice. He's also a lieutenant colonel in the Army Reserves and is an intelligence director for the U.S. Strategic Command, where he leads their big data initiative. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Fantastic.
So, Jeff, you have such an accomplished background, and I learned that you do some amazing work volunteering with disabled veterans.
You know, veterans is near and dear to my heart, you know, as a veteran myself, and, you know, have so many friends that have either transitioned out of the military or still in, and recognize there's some hardships that you go through and just, you know, being able to, you know, cope, whether it's a physical disability or just some emotional, you know, complications. And so I've been just trying to be as present as I can, helping, volunteering with equine therapy, where we use horses to kind of calm our veterans and kind of get them outside. And so just recently, participated in some great events where we not only did equine therapy, but started to do some additional things like adaptive cycling. So an amputee would be able to ride a bicycle using their hands.
Wow, that's amazing. That's fantastic. So, you know, I really want to jump right into this about, you know, let's talk about analytics, right? So let's set up a scenario where, Jeff, you were asked to introduce analytics with embedded machine learning capabilities for an organization. So what areas of the business would you implement first and why?
Sure. So I want to give a little bit of a concept setup. It's going to just take a second, just so to kind of prime how we understand machine learning. So first and foremost, just the general analytics landscape is kind of divided into segments. You know, first is descriptive, which is, you know, what's out there, what's going on. Diagnostic, why it happened. Predictive, what will happen next. And then prescriptive, which is kind of the holy grail of how do you make something happen. Now, AI and machine learning is the other concept, which is AI is being able to utilize your tools to do smart tasks, so business rules, things of that nature, that'll make quick decisions rapidly. Machine learning is embedded on top of AI, where you then refine those business rules to get smarter with each decision cycle. So that being said, just a classic example that we've done at Grant Thornton is dynamic pricing. So for example, hospitality, hotels, websites, VRBO, these type of places need to adapt their pricing schedule to accommodate for demand. So if, for example, there's low demand, they're going to make things cheaper. If there's high demand, they're going to make things more expensive. Airlines will do this as well. And so if you're waiting on a human to do that, it's going to be too slow, and you're going to leave money on the table perhaps, or not get the sale at all. Now, you can then embed some sort of AI, and now all of a sudden it's going to do it rapidly. Machine learning is going to be able to take those understood business rules and adapt that construct to a new hotel or a new location or a new route. And so those types of items are going to then, you know, be profitable. So basically, whenever you want to be fast and potentially prescriptive, that's where it's going to give you the advantage, by bringing those tool sets in to, you know, compare and contrast yourself to somebody a lot slower.
That's interesting. So are they receptive? Are you seeing some companies receptive to the whole idea of embedding their, you know, machine learning analytics into their organization?
Oh, absolutely. I think the nature of the beast right now is you have to distinguish yourself against your competition, because, you know, there's the concept of, you know, are you a unique, you know, a purple cow, as Seth Godin said, where, you know, is there something special about your organization? Well, if you're having a rapidly dynamic pricing, for example, as I was saying, where you can have a, you know, undercut the competition because you understand your demand better, well, that's going to give you competitive advantage. So I think any time an organization can recognize that, they're going to immediately reap the benefits.
So, Jeff, you've also been a consultant for organizations that are responsible for finance-related activities, specifically working with ERP or enterprise types of technologies. Can you help us understand some of the challenges you're seeing with those companies right now?
Absolutely. So ERPs are all online transactional processes, which basically mean they collect lots of detailed information, consolidate that information, and kind of hold that, and treasure troves of information. That being said, when something dynamic happens, something changes, there's a new line of business with a different invoicing system, perhaps there's an acquisition, how do you marry those up? You got to remember, you want to see the enterprise apples to apples, but a lot of times an ERP isn't quite built in a way because there's so much information going on to transition to a single system. And because of that, there's always a demand for kind of a non-standard analysis or a new idea, a laboratory to be dynamic. So even though I fully admit the ERP is the workhorse, you need to understand it's a large ship with a wide turn radius. And that's where bringing in something dynamic, like overlaying an analytics cloud or something like that, where it's something you can bring up really fast and, you know, rapidly kind of merge disparate data sources and identify where the commonalities are going to allow you to turn your ship faster.
And what kind of urgency are we talking about? Because it's, you know, if you're talking about a course correction, as you're referring to, and how does that relate to like implementing a cloud-based analytic solution within that organization?
Sure, sure. So urgency, I always get worried about urgency because urgency shouldn't be being frantic, because you want to have a deliberate approach and you be very measured on how you tackle it. But that being said, the time is now. You know, I was reading something from Malcolm Gladwell where it was something to the extent of talking about how people adopt technology. And it was kind of the cloud of adoption was, you have your innovators, which is the first 2.5%, early adopters, which is the next 13.5%, the early majority, 34%. And then you start falling into people that are behind, you know, the late majority and the laggards. And what's interesting about that is a lot of times people think cloud is, oh, it's innovation. That's not us, because that's only the top 2%. I'm telling you, where I'm looking in the industry right now, we're beyond early adoption right now. There's so many organizations out there recognizing the need for cloud that we're now in the early majority. And what's interesting about that is when you're in the early majority, you know, kind of the one half of the bell curve, if you will, you're going to have and reap the benefits of competitive advantage, because you're the ones that are getting there before a lot of your competition. What you don't want to be is the last ones to get there. And so that urgency, I think, is what is driving a lot of businesses to develop those cloud analytic solutions.
So AI simply isn't a buzzword for these folks, like the early adopters?
That's a great question. And I'm going to tell you, I work with the U.S. government, and I also am a part of the U.S. government when I'm doing my reserves. If we're already talking about cloud, then a lot of people should be, because nothing goes fast in the Army. Nothing goes fast in the government. If anyone's been in the DMV, everyone should know. It's not Ricky Bobby if you're first or last, but good Lord, they're usually not the first. I'll tell you that. But yeah, to your point, buzzword. There are a lot of buzzwords, blockchain, big data, AI, and people do string them together to make you sound smart. But that being said, you got to recognize that that is a real thing. That you know, if you want to get behind, beyond just doing descriptive and diagnostic analytics, which is kind of just, you know, show me what's going on and actually make an impact by identifying these things, then yeah, you absolutely need to start leveraging these new tools. But I will caution, if you don't have your house in order and don't have your descriptive or diagnostic analytics in order, and you try to feed this beast of machine learning, garbage in is garbage out. You're not going to be able to get good insights if you have bad input.
Speaking of input, you once gave a presentation on how data discovery in the cloud is a gateway for future success. Do you mind expanding on that a bit further? I mean, we want to know how business managers can feel more confident that a cloud-based analytics solution is better or even preferable to, say, something on-premises.
Sure. So there's a few reasons why I feel like having a data discovery tool and in the cloud are important. First of all, for cloud, I'll talk first. On the cloud side, you know, you're enabling somebody to have an entryway that is a lower cost than, you know, buying the entire, you know, cow. You know, you get a taste of the cow. You get to try the milk a little bit. And by doing that, you know, you're going to have that subscription to some sort of software as a service or even a platform as a service. It's going to allow you to kind of test bed some ideas. So you're not really investing, you know, the entire farm to identify if it's a good fit for you. So that in itself, I think, gives you an advantage on being more dynamic. But the data discovery piece, I think, is really interesting as well. So traditional BI, which I am a big proponent for, I'm not saying it's not important. You need it to have those reporting metrics and things like that embedded in your organization. But to build a full BI tool set does take a little bit more time because you want to test it and have all those types of things. It's not necessarily as much of a laboratory as data discovery. And so if there's an emerging threat, for example, tainted ice cream, we all remember when that happened a few years ago. Not our client, but our client does have a dairy recognize what was happening with their associates, asked us about data discovery. Because what if there is a bad shipment? How can you develop rapidly tools and examine invoicing for things that you didn't build a report for already? You need to use data discovery tools which can navigate unstructured concepts, unstructured data. You know, if there's a choking hazard of a toy, wouldn't it be great to be able to troll through the various reviews that are on the product and see if maybe a customer posted it on their Amazon rating? You know, if you can be able to do that and go through something that's a non-standard data, it's going to allow you to rapidly address an issue before it becomes truly destructive to your organization.
So that's interesting. You mentioned shopping online. And are those outliers that you're kind of referring to? Those are the things that we usually think of to push away, right, to disregard in analytics. Are you saying that we should pay attention to those and see if there's hidden answers in that data?
You're speaking a language to me here, because absolutely, I feel strongly about outliers. You know, it's one of those situations where, yes, when you do traditional statistical analysis, you usually eliminate, you know, the third standard deviation beyond. So I'm not going to get math with you guys because I know nobody wants to hear that. But, you know, you not normally get rid of outliers when you do stats. That's why analytics isn't statistics, because it's important to have a little bit of sampling of anecdotal information to help flavor a decision. You know, just even my own personal life, as I shop for a water play table for my child, you know, because it's summer and it's, or, you know, just ending summer actually, and when I was trying to get a good price on one, I don't even look at just the price, but I also look at the reviews. But I don't just look at the 5-star reviews. I'm going to look at the only one instance of a 1-star review, because if it said, hey, it almost killed my child, I'm not going to buy that thing. I'm sorry. Some decisions are too important to just leave out that one anecdotal outlier. So I think it's very important to help give you a whole rounded analysis.
I can understand why outliers are also a little bit of a conundrum for organizations. So let's talk about the importance of understanding and clearly identifying the goals as it relates to your analytics program, especially something along the lines of, say, a corporate environment or even, say, the military.
Absolutely. So when we talk about goals, I mean, this one is a slam dunk in my mind, is that how can you build a tool without knowing where you're going? How can you really try to assess the business without knowing what's important to the business? And how do you know that? By having the vision of the business. Where do we want to be? Are we looking for top-line revenue? Is that really our goal? Are we trying to cut costs and work on the bottom side? These are important things to understand just as an analytics person, because that's going to help you design what your tool set is going to do. So understanding those goals and where you want to be, I think, is going to enable you to be successful in the corporate. But, you know, even in the military, you know, we work 10-year plans, you know, which is, you know, to some companies that seems crazy, because how will you even know what's going to happen in 10 years? Well, an aircraft carrier takes a long time to build, right? So you need to have these types of understandings to be able to make your organization prepared to handle those you know, future state analytics. And how else to do that but, you know, shape your analytics every step of the way.
Interesting. So can you tell us, Jeff, about some of the projects you've worked on, maybe not the 10-year projects that you talked about, but, you know, some of the ones where you've implemented or you're implementing a cloud-based analytics solution embedded with machine learning, and, you know, how that's making a difference.
Absolutely. So, you know, bear in mind, I do a lot of projects that are just diagnosing description or descriptive, which is, you know, those first levels, which there's nothing wrong with that. You need that. But that being said, when you want to start embedding the AI and machine learning, this is where you're talking about more predictive and prescriptive. So, for example, consumer products, general profitability. So one of the things we're looking at is how profitable is that particular product by historic trend. But then taking that trend and overlaying that on a calendar and saying, where do we think we're going to be in the future based on consumption? So, you know, general way of looking at it. But, I mean, you could go healthcare, cost to serve. You could look at that from pharma, corporate compliance. There's a lot of organizations there. You want to be able to look at expense reports to make sure nobody's doing something that they shouldn't as they're trying to sell pharmaceuticals. Construction, warranty, and claims analysis. one that I just did is location arbitrage, where you're basing for commodities. Is it cheaper or more expensive to sit on a product and transport it and pay the shipping to sell it at a different market because that commodity is worth more? Classic trade wars. Being able to identify that with a machine and give you spit out recommendations. Hey, maybe you shouldn't sell it in San Diego. Maybe San Francisco, things go for a lot more money. Well, that's going to save the company money. And really, by embedding it with machines and machine learning, you're going to, you know, basically eliminate some of those, you know, issues of being too slow to get to market.
Interesting.
You also wrote a couple articles recently about having a bold attitude and how that might apply to analytics and decision making. Talk a little bit about what your thinking is there.
Yeah, attitude is everything. You know, I recognize we're working with technology and tool sets are important. And a lot of the things we do, especially to do it at scale, you need a tool set. But there really is also a mindset to the application of the tool. There is never going to be an easy button. As much as we want machine learning to be the easy button, it's going to get you most of the way there. But you still have to have the mindset of being not just an informationist. And what I mean by an informationist, in my own little word, is that, yeah, you can go ahead and provide, you know, what's going on. You know, tell people the news of the day. Yeah, the stock is up, stock is down, this product's making money. But if you don't embed a recommendation or a course of action, then it doesn't ever step into being analytics, because then it's just really just watching the 5 o'clock news. When you have an attitude of this is not just saying what's happening, but rather embed a recommendation, and not only just using the tool set, but also the tool user recognizes that they need to take the information garnered and apply it and make a recommendation and affect change by talking to their executives. That's when I think it really, that bold mindset is don't just be a person on the sidelines. You need to help shape these things, because your executives only have the information you give them.
Boy, I tell you, and having the right tools is one thing, but being the right kind of an analyst is definitely very valuable. Speaking of which, I also read another article where you were brand new as a second lieutenant, and you got yelled at sort of by your squad commander. How did that incident help you become a better analyst yourself?
that one is fun. I actually enjoyed writing that one, because I would go through what awesome colonel, by the way, taught me a lot, but very salty in the language. So I will not totally quote every word, but some of the things that I had done, where I had overanalyzed and put 100 slides in a presentation, things where he would ask me a question, I'd give him 7 different ways to respond. Things that I thought were helpful were actually, from an executive's eyes, clutter. I was giving him things that, I was taking an analysis on one dashboard and doing it a certain way, and red meant it's bad. But in the next dashboard, green meant bad because of these 3 factors. And he explained to me, hey, Silverman, you're being stupid here. You're making my eyes hurt me. And basically gave me a good dressing down for about 5 minutes, very early in my career. And the reality is it shook me enough, because I had never really gotten yelled at like that, to understand that maybe it wasn't, there was a level of arrogance on my end. I was trying to be too smart with it. And then taking a look at it from the executive's eyes, the colonel, and recognize that, there is a simpler way to give information for him to consume it. And now, I am that colonel, and I recognize it, and I try not to be as mean. He was an infantry guy. I'm an intelligence analyst at heart, so I don't necessarily have the saltiness, but I still try to pass on those lessons.
I was going to say 100 slides. Talk about death by PowerPoint. Jeez, man.
Hey, I'll blame West Point for that one. They set me up the wrong way.
I've done it before too.
I think we all have.
All right. So, Jeff, here at the Analytics Advantage podcast, we like to end the show with a little game called the Fast Forward Prediction Game, where I state a prediction and you tell me green light, agree, or red light, disagree. How's that sound?
Let's go.
Okay. 5 years from now, most companies will need to implement a cloud or hybrid cloud ERP and analytics solution with some form of embedded machine learning.
Green light.
And why is that?
You know, I think it's just the nature of how technology is trending. And companies, really. There are a lot of companies out there that are trying to distinguish themselves by being faster, smarter, more lean in some cases, to maximize their profitability. And, you know, really utilizing the latest cutting-edge technology, which allows you to be swifter and faster, as I've mentioned before, is going to give that competitive advantage.
All right, question number two. 5 years from now, companies will actually trust the analytics and insights that they're getting from their analytics solution.
Can I say yellow light on
yes.
that one?
Yeah, absolutely. You're allowed.
Where I say that is I feel like the successful companies will be a green light because they're going to believe in what's going on. But I do think there is some legacy old guard out there. And that legacy old guard is going to doubt, you know, it didn't come from Deborah's spreadsheet. How do we know this? And I think it's just a matter of trial and error and finally see that maybe these insights, compared to Deborah, will prove themselves to be, you know, more adaptive or better. And I think you need to have a little bit of the bake-off to kind of show it and prove it.
Great. Well, I'm going to up the years now here. So 10 years from now, analytics embedded with machine learning will be so integrated within an enterprise that most departments and business units, not just IT, will be managing and using it daily.
I will, well, the way you said that, I'll say yellow light because you said all. And I said, if you're successful, you will be. So it'd be green if you're successful. I think you're going to find that's where, you know, rubber meets the road. There's going to be businesses that fail out there and they might not use it. But I will tell you, successful ones will.
Got it. Okay.
All right, last question. I hear you're a big Denver Broncos football fan. Yes?
I am.
Okay, good.
I am, yes.
All right, so the question is, the Denver Broncos will be able to use analytics embedded with machine learning this year to actually position themselves at the top of the division and eventually go to the Super Bowl.
Oh, my gosh. I wish, please, Denver, if you're listening, call me. I will work for free.
Oh, wow.
Let me know. This is on my own time. It has been heartbreaking these last few years. Analytics can help a whole lot. I'm going to answer this. I want to say green light if they used analytics. I don't think they're using it the way it could. But I'm telling you, if you just recognize the patterns of, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs like to, you know, Mahomes always scrambles to the right, do some analytics there and know where to put Von Miller, and I think we're in a good shape.
Ah, fantastic. Interesting. Yeah, they should hire you, especially pro bono. We've been speaking with Jeff Silverman, Senior Manager for Grant Thornton. Thank you so much, Jeff.
It's been a pleasure, gentlemen. Thank you.
And for more information, please reach out to us at oracle.com/analytics.